Leading off with the big story of the day, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Man.
Freedom!
Oh, I like it.
The knob is precocious, full of wonderment.
Oh.
You feel good today?
Oh, I feel so good.
That's good. That's
Come
good.
On. I'm happy.
Bears be walking in the crib and everything.
I mean, look at this. The sun's out. The trees are draped by a little bit of snow. The mountains. Uh-huh. Look at this. Look out to the west, everybody. Look at Mount Evans. Look at Pike Peak. Look at them all!
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful day. I had a good day, too. You know what? I think we all had a good day today.
Why? Because I paid off the world's stupidest bet today. I don't even want to... You know what plays? I don't even want to say the plays, but... Oh, my God. And I was... I was praying for a snow day.
Yes.
I was. And I woke up and I saw that blizzard and I'm like, yeah! And I got out and I shoveled a little bit because I still have a wife. And I knew as I drove down Chambers Road and took a left on Alameda, I was going to be set and I was fifth in line!
Yes, 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 yes!
O'clock or so.
7 o'clock. I love it.
The bummer is that nobody pulled up behind me until about 8:15, but whatever. And I asked, you know, one of the Eskimos that works outside of that place that had to shovel and I go, Nanook, what time do you guys actually open up?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. And I was like, whatever. I was listening to the boys in the morning who were going to be part of the war room, Mike and Mark, and then I double-checked the order. Can you imagine screwing that up?
Yes, yes.
And there was a little contact back and forth, and everything was looking good. And I swear to God, they started the line moving around 9:15, earlier than I thought.
Oh, nice, nice. You got a little freebie in there.
Yeah, and this is not a joke.
like, wait, this is all over now?
Like, is this really happening?
What am I going to do with my life now that this bet is over?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, man.
So I got a couple for my kid. My wife didn't want anything. I picked up your order. I picked up an order from Richie. And then I threw in some extras because what the hell?
Right. Right.
And I thought about it. If we really wanted to be mean about this bet, if we really wanted to be mean, we would have required the loser just to pick up a small fry. And that's
nothing
it.
Else.
Like,
nothing
you are not allowed to get anything else. You got to do everything. Walk up there and say, small fry and a glass of water, please.
Yes.
That would have been hysterical.
Well, I got to tell you, I got the text from you about 10 o'clock that the order was completed, that you were en route. You were coming to my house to deliver it. I did not tell my family this time that you were going because I couldn't handle the disappointment if you didn't come through. But I did warn them around 10:15 that you were on the way with the order. So I went into my office. I got an office that I could look out onto the street. I could see you coming. I prepared. I was waiting for you. About 10:45, I see you pull in. I went out. I shoveled for you. I made sure that you had
appreciate
a clear path
yes.
so you could walk in.
Yeah.
It's give here, you know. That's the relationship I was looking for. And I saw you pull in. I walked outside. I hid behind the corner a little bit for where you couldn't see me.
I
got that video rolling. I got the phone out, and I got that walk of shame all on tape. You're walking down that sidewalk with two armfuls of food and drink, and it was a good morning.
That was pretty funny, and it was actually pretty fun. It was great to see your kids and Liz, your wife, and it was fun. It was actually kind of fun. At the end of the day, it was kind of fun. And then I didn't realize you and Richie actually lived relatively close to each other.
Yeah, 5-10 minutes.
So after, you know, chatted up with you guys, and your son was wearing a Seahawks jersey, which
he
I
was.
Think he was just rubbing it in.
No, that's how he lives his life.
Okay.
He is a diehard Seahawks fan.
Well, he was wearing it, and I was like, Seahawks. Yeah.
Right,
that was
right.
The bet.
Well, keep in mind, everybody, I played for the Seahawks. I was a part of the Beastquake. When he was born, I was playing for the Seahawks. That's his team. That's his team.
Look at the hustle by Columbus.
Thank you. Thank you.
And the bet was, with 2 minutes to go, would the Cardinals be able to beat the Seahawks when they were down a touchdown? And we had gone back and forth of that over the, on Friday and or Thursday or whenever. I don't know.
I turned it down before the game because I wanted no part of this bet. I'm like, there's no way I'm accepting
Thursday,
a bet where I have to go sit in line for 6 hours next day.
Because there's been a lot of comment about the quality of the food. That is not the point.
No.
That wasn't the point
was
at all.
The punishment of having to go sit in the line. Right.
Which I thought, hour, maybe two. On my fourth attempt, by rolling in a blizzard and still waiting 2.5 hours, still had to do that, but it was all right because I knew it was going to happen. And got it done. And Richie, let me ask you, Richie, real quick, because I even brought extras for you.
You did. Matter of fact, you made my neighbors happy because you brought extra burgers. We ate it all, and my wife turns to me. She's like, "Well, are you going to eat these?" I'm like, "No. Like, I'm not going to eat extra burgers."
It was too much.
Yeah, it was too much.
Too much.
So we texted the neighbors, and we brought some burgers over to the neighbors. So you made our neighbors happy.
Oh my God! Can you imagine just? Your neighbor just shows up. Hey, you know that thing people have been waiting 14 hours for?
Right,
here.
Right.
No, what? Yeah, no, here. Here you go.
Here.
There you go. Thanks. I gave Richie his, which, of course, we pay off everybody here, even though Richie's not part of it.
I mean, at some point, we're going to have to start making Richie participate in these bets.
Make the bet with me, and then I'll jump in. But you got to directly bet it with me.
Okay. Richie comes to the station literally hours before we do, of course, and it's not even close. So I brought extra for who enjoyed them here at the radio station, who was able to take part.
There's not that many people actually here.
That is true,
these days, but
and our boy Chicken Fingers is off this week.
I felt bad for Kevin. Well, you're going to have to go back.
forget it.
Yeah, no, but both Steven and Zach enjoyed some, and that was Zach's first time ever trying it.
Okay. All right, so just Steven and Zach, and they took care of business?
Yeah, because Parker already had lunch, so he turned it down.
But there were more,
There was four.
That was it?
Four or five, yeah.
Okay, well, four or five.
I think there was four in the box.
Okay.
I didn't open it up and do an inventory.
All right. How was it? Did you enjoy it?
It was great.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I love the Walk of Shame. You guys can find it at Tyler_Columbus. It's on Twitter You can see D-Mac with the Walk of Shame. He was a great sport about it. It was fun. I was catching heat this morning on Twitter.
You are.
All of a sudden out of nowhere.
You were.
Actually, it was only one person. It was literally one person. But one person had your back, and they were like, "Oh, D-Mac, I don't care what Tyler says. You are going above and beyond in this bet." And I'm like, hold on. The literal definition of the bet was that you had to go to In-N-Out
and get
the burgers. Like, how is paying off the bet going above and beyond?
And I responded to that and said, no, that's not the case. I got myself in this sticky wicket, and I got to get out of it. I was happy.
I got to tell you a text that I got from a friend that you know. A friend that you know.
Okay.
And he says, "Watching D-Mac walk your very long sidewalk to your door while carrying two armfuls of fast food is one of the saddest moments that I've ever seen. And you, blankety blank, won." And then he writes, "In the snow, you are a bad man, Tyler."
I was fine. The snow was fine. It's a 65 degree day. That's doom and gloom.
Right.
I mean, that's not what. No, it was all good. It was all good. And by the way, just to let you know, this might sound remarkable. My favorite moment on what you tweeted out when somebody said, "D-Mac looks skinny."
Oh, there
you
go.
And I'm like, there you go.
Yeah.
And I did all that. I didn't have one French fry. I didn't have anything for myself.
You didn't have a burger?
Did not have a burger.
What?
Zero. Nothing.
What?
Nada.
Hold on, that's how
Zippo.
I know you're going about this diet wrong. That's
no.
how I know you're allowed to enjoy a nice little luxury every now and then, my friend.
Profile
you sat in that line the whole time.
Yep.
You didn't eat a single burger.
Not a bite.
No, that's just dumb.
Not one little morsel. I'm on
This is like a long commercial for Profile by Sanford, but I'm dedicated. I've lost over 25 pounds, and it just, that is just not part of the plan. Mm. It's not, and it was my man. The car still smells like it. Trust me. There were moments, but nope. It was just, so it was the true payment of a bet that I didn't enjoy whatsoever. But I had fun with the process, and people love us talking about this, by the way. They can't get enough of talking about this.
I know.
But I think that, ultimately puts things to a,
well, it's a good day. It feels good.
Puts it to an end.
I'm a little bit hungry now because I ate at 10:45 in the morning. That's when the last time I ate. But
really?
I haven't eaten anything since then.
Did you have a breakfast?
No, that was my breakfast.
Okay, so you should be lunching right now.
Right.
Yeah. You can't have my apple. That's for me.
I'll hit up the vending machine.
I was wondering, Richie, because sometimes when things get dropped off here, there's remnants of it kind of around. But I did not see who else had one? John?
John Simmer had one.
Yeah, okay.
I'm standing in Orlando.
Good. Mm. So everybody who was here had one. That wanted one.
Literally, except for Parker. Everyone that was here had one.
What was Parker's problem?
I think he had Chipotle or something. He already ate. So I don't think he respected how long it took to get those burgers.
Our dude Parker is like 6'3 and 130 pounds.
Soaking wet.
I mean, he can't double. Boy, you know. I can't even imagine being that tall and that skinny. I would just eat everything.
I cannot believe you did order yourself one.
Didn't have one. Not one.
Well, it felt good, man. I'm proud of you. Good job paying off the bet.
Yes, it's done. It's done. It's done. And we move on. And we're going to get Schefter on here in a second. And, you know, we didn't really dig into the whole ownership thing yesterday. We were just in such a giddy celebratory mood about, you know, the win. But I do want to ask Adam about that. Garrett Bowles was really interesting today, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I thought. And
that felt like an extended session.
Didn't it?
Well, you know what? It's fun to talk to the media when everything's going well.
It sure is. Who wouldn't want to do that?
On the back, I'll hang around for an hour and a half, man.
What an amazing twist for him, man, to just be. And you know what? I from his comments today, you could tell he's heard. He's heard it. He knows.
Oh, of course.
He's not blind to it. Is that Adam there, Richie? Yeah, okay. All right, time for Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, joining us courtesy of your Colorado Mercedes-Benz dealers. Hey, Adam, how are you?
Who are you talking about the comments that they hear it and are aware of it?
Garrett Bowles. And, you know, it's been rough for him here in this town for the past couple of years. Pretty rough not being offered the fifth-year extension or a new contract, being a first-round draft choice. Challenged, really challenged. And the criticism of him, not only by media people, but by the fans, the booing of him, Adam, he was loudly getting booed. And what a turnaround. He's one of the top tackles that will become a free agent in the league right now, if it gets to that point, if they don't tag him or they don't do a new contract with him.
Nobody hammered him more than Stink, right? Nobody.
Oh,
I mean,
killed him.
I remember being on with Stink. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Killed him. Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And by the way, I say that in a respectful way. Like, there's nobody whose opinion on offensive linemen I would respect any more than Stink.
Mm-hmm.
So if he felt that way, clearly, I'm sure it's just Tyler. You played the position. What do you think?
Tough.
Oh, everybody was down on him. Very, very down on him. The entire station, the entire state. This is something that I've actually never witnessed. A guy that is changing the narrative after 3 years of everything just being straight negativity to get to this point doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, three of our hosts are Mark Schlereth, Tyler Palumbus, and Orlando Franklin. I mean, you know, that's pretty rough from when you wake up to when you go to bed. It can be. And I actually give the guy a lot of credit, Adam. That takes intestinal fortitude and discipline and all that sort of stuff. And he's really turned it around and finding a healthy, effective left tackle in free agency. Are you kidding me? You tell me, how rare is that?
Good left tackles don't hit the free agent market by and large.
Right.
They just don't. It's very rare. There are always catches if they do. Like Nate Solder hit the market, but he was later in life, won Super Bowls, and I would say that, you know, if you ask the Giants, you know, he opted out this year. I don't know that it worked out. It didn't work out the way that they would have liked, and it wasn't worth the money, right? It's tough to find that kind of position.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's put himself in line for a big payday, and good for him. And there aren't that many people, there aren't many players who haven't had their fifth year option picked up and then have come back and played like that. I could think of Ryan Tannehill, I think, is in that category, I think.
Oh, we looked it up. There's 59 guys. Only
Corey Davis?
Only one of them. Who was it? Fuller? Richie, who is it? Kyle Fuller?
Kyle Fuller?
Kyler Fuller, of 59 first-round guys who have not been offered a free agent, is the only one to get a franchise tag the next year. Mm-hmm. One! And Garrett Bowles is setting himself up probably to be two unless they get a longer-term deal done. I think of the 59 guys, there's some like eight or something that have been offered a contract after not being offered the fifth-year option. So mm-hmm. It's very rare, Adam. Very, very rare.
Yeah, well, good for him.
Yeah,
and good for the Broncos. And you like to see somebody bounce back from that, right? Like, that's a nice thing.
Well, Adam, what do you think about Denver's big win over Miami this weekend? Do you think Drew Lock did enough to kind of quiet down the noise a little bit?
Well, that was impressive the way they came and did that. And I'm not taking anything away from Drew Lock, but it was to me, it was more the defense doing what it did than it was Drew Lock. Mm-hmm. The defense, what, six sacks, pressure. And there's just something about feeding a young, inexperienced quarterback to a Vic Fangio-led defense, right? Like, should have known that might be coming. Should have known. And Drew Lock did his part. And, again, he's just got to play consistent football and win some games. And he did what he was supposed to do on Sunday.
All right, Adam. I know a lot about the Broncos ownership situation, but I am fuzzy on this story about the $10 million fine. How much do you know about it, and how much does it pertain to the Broncos situation?
You know, it's funny. Somebody sent me the memo about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
A new rule, ownership, fine. There's that. Well, this is interesting. You know, I presented it to a couple of other people. They didn't know much about it. And now it's come out now. And I'm like, okay, so that's what that memo was that was sent to me.
Okay.
Someone was sending to me. I would imagine that's something to do with Denver's situation. I can't imagine the league is pleased with what's gone on with the inner family squabbling and the uncertainty that surrounds the future of the Broncos there. Nobody, you know, Pat wouldn't be happy. Pat would not be happy about that. And so I don't know whether the league is trying to minimize that in the future. Probably. And I think the league is making a statement. Hey, you want to fight, you want to make this public, you want to do things that are detrimental to the league, someone's going to pay the price for that.
Well, the crazy thing, the way, you know, by the way, you said Pat wouldn't like it. Well, Pat did set it up, although that's what that court case is all about, Adam, if he was of the right mind to make decisions back in 2009. That's the essence of the court case. We'll see. But Mr. Bolin did essentially set things up, and there were no deadlines on anything. And when I saw and heard about this NFL rule, again, I was like, okay, I hear you, but what are the deadlines? Like, by when do you have to have something set? And one of the reasons we've been going on for years in this ownership transition thing, Adam, is there have been no set deadlines ever. I mean, literally, it could keep on going. And we will be into 7-8 years before this thing could really get done if somebody, somewhere, somehow, doesn't put some deadline on it.
Yeah. Well, you would just like it to be settled peacefully, amicably, with what's best for the family and the organization. I don't know that scenario exists. I don't know.
Right.
It's like mediating a divorce or something.
Right.
You know, it just seems like it's prickly and ugly and unnecessary.
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
Well, Adam, sad story coming out of Dallas today. Strength conditioning coach Marcus Paul apparently has passed away.
He's not passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for correcting me.
No. And let me say this. And it's a snapshot and a behind-the-curtain glimpse into what goes on. So the Cowboys this morning announced that they shut their facility down, canceled practice, non-COVID-related emergency. So, okay, you're like, what is that? And your mind starts running. What could it be? Mm-hmm. What would it be that would lead to a team shutting down its facility, canceling practice for a non-COVID issue 2 days before they're supposed to play on Thanksgiving Day for first place in the NFC East? Like, you don't hear that.
Right.
You don't hear that. You know, in this day and age, if practice is canceled, it's COVID-related, but this was not. So you start checking around, and it came back to me a few different times, exactly what you said there, Tyler.
Yeah.
Now, again, never reported it. Kept checking with the team. The team's like, nope. Okay. Had people texting me that it was exactly what you said. Now, there were people that went on social media and reported that that happened, that he had passed away.
Yeah, because I saw a former teammate say it, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was going around. Okay. It was going around. But he hasn't. And apparently he's on life support now. Okay. And he's fighting for his life.
Okay.
And his family is pleading for prayers and thoughts and hoping that he can fight back. You know, I can think of a friend I had a couple of years ago. I got a call. I'll never forget. I was at the NFL owners meetings and I got a call from Derek Brooks, the Hall of Fame linebacker. And he called me. I said, I just want to let you know about a friend. He's not going to make it through the night. And I was like, what? And he said, yeah, well, long story short, that guy's living today.
Whoa.
And so, again, you don't know what's going to happen. And obviously it speaks to how severe it was.
Yeah.
And how serious it was. But it also, again, shows you what a dangerous world social media can be. Can you imagine, you know, that guy's family reading that their husband or father or son, you know, passed away today when he hadn't yet?
Right, right.
I mean, it's just that's not a story you want to be first on.
That's for sure. All right, Adam. Well, listen, we hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family. And
We're thankful for you. Thanks
we
for
are
time,
thankful
man.
For Adam Schefter.
Thankful for you guys. Thankful right, for you guys. Ahead. Thankful for Colorado having a piece of my soul. And thankful for that city and everything being with you guys. And I wish you and your families a very happy, healthy Thanksgiving in this unusual year.
Yeah.
It will be an unusual holiday. And I hope everybody enjoys it as much as they can.
All right, Adam. We'll talk to you later. It's Adam Schefter, courtesy of your Colorado Mercedes-Benz dealers. Well, listen, when we get to the water cooler, coming up next. Man, oh man, is Tom Brady a baby? Details next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Well, the game last night was interesting as a football game, period. But Tyler, to me, one of the, you know, water cooler moments is Tom Brady's petulant behavior at the end of the game. So, what is the deal with him, you know, blowing off the handshake at the end of games? What do you think about that?
Yeah, he's a huge baby. Huge, huge baby. I cannot believe it. This is just post-game football 101. Starting quarterback goes and finds the other starting quarterback. Head coach goes and finds the other head coach. If you're an offensive tackle, who do you think I'd go find? I'd go find the defensive end that I was playing up against. That's just what you do. That's the way it's always been. And especially if you're a guy like Tom Brady, when you know for dang sure those cameras are going to be on you. You know, this is not the first time he's done it.
No, multiple times.
This is now the second time. Last time it was Nick Foles, right?
Yeah.
And that one was, all right, so Foles beat him in the Super Bowl. All right. So is he holding on a grudge to that one forever?
Guess.
Is that what it's all about?
Yeah.
Guess what, Brady? You didn't lose the Super Bowl this time. This one, there's absolutely no explanation. You're just a flat-out baby. That's all it is, flat-out baby. You can't handle losing.
Now, he did throw a terrible interception to end the game. I mean, who was that ball going to? It was awful. He completed only 54% of his passes, two interceptions. You're a baby.
Yeah.
Cry baby.
Yeah.
It's like, I was watching the Packers and the Colts. I cannot believe, Lee, with Phillip Rivers. I just thought, talk about being wrong. Boy. I mean, I'm wrong about a lot of things, but boy, did I get that wrong.
I think we had another In-N-Out burger on that one.
No, sir. But what a great game.
Right.
And down to the wire, and the Colts win on a walk-off, you know, kick by Revenge of the Nerds Blankenship. And
what does Rodgers do?
He goes and shakes hands. Not only does he shake hands with Rivers, but he spends a little time with them.
Right.
And he has a chuckle, a laugh. And I don't think it's okay. You know, I guess the game didn't end because Rodgers threw an interception and he just was, felt bad. But still, not an easy loss for them. Big game for them. Yeah, every win's important, and Aaron, the game's over. The game is over. It's done. You can be upset about stuff later. I really do think that you guys, Tyler, deserve to pay. It is so hard to get to where you guys are. You have a great game. You have a great battle. Isn't that the sign of respect for Warriors to just go out there and say, hey, man, way to go. Enjoy the battle.
100%. That's just what you do, man. I cannot believe it. It's such bad etiquette. It's just ugly. It just shows you, boy, this guy literally has no idea how to lose a football game. And he's probably just an arrogant jerk regardless.
Yeah, and I think the arrogance is coming around to bite him in the butt a little bit. I think this Antonio Brown thing, I think there is some little wacky. I know they had a big game last week. I get it. But I think there's some weird karma going on with Antonio Brown being on that team. And it's not him necessarily as a person. It's more like what Brady was shoving through the door over what Bruce Arians want. And right. I can't imagine there's got to be some tension there between Brady and Arians. Why would Arians want Tom Brady? Seriously, that is a serious question.
Well, he didn't. He made it very clear that he did not want him in the offseason when he said that there's no room for him on this team. There's no room for Antonio Brown on this football team. He doesn't represent what we believe as a culture, and there's no money, there's no fit. There's just not a fit.
So it's not like Antonio Brown's a bad player. He's not, obviously, but it's a weird chemistry thing. I tell you what, too, Gronk.
Dude, they catches.
I'm not arguing that. There's just a weird, it's a vibe. Gronk ain't Gronk anymore. Gronk is...
No, but he's one hell of a blocker, man.
Yeah,
he is.
All right.
You know, is he worth $10 million for the Bucks? No, not worth $10 million, but he is still a very effective football
player.
Let
me ask you a tricky question. Where would you rather be? Where the Bucks are right now for the next now and for the next 3 years, or where the Broncos are now and for the next 3 years?
Oh, I'd take the Bucks in a heartbeat.
Yeah, still,
absolutely, 100%. I mean, that's like asking me, you know, would you forego Peyton Manning in Super Bowl 50 to have some young quarterback that you don't know much about? No, of course not. You take whatever you can get in the prime, and you hope that you can have 2 or 3 years of the twilight here with Tom Brady, and you make a run at it.
Man, but I tell you what. And
it's one hell of a football team that is built all the way around. I mean, when push comes to shove, they'll have to replace the quarterback, but they still have one hell of a football team.
All right, but you know, just to keep it a fair comparison, yeah, Peyton started out 3-3, okay, but then the Broncos won 10 games in a row.
Listen, if we had Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, one of these other young Bucks
that are doing
amazing things,
that
would be a different question. But our situation, ours? Oh, give me a break, yeah.
And there's the rip on Drew Lock. All right.
I mean, you asked.
I appreciate the honesty. Hey, we do have a little insight on that ownership stuff. Adam, it was pretty clear Adam was, kind of so-so about the whole thing. But we do have a little insight on it. Hang on for that next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
We're going to hear from Garrett Bowles. It was really interesting. They had good, interesting. Said a couple things that were like, huh? But what a year he's had. Man, we'll get to him, football at 4, coming up a little bit. I was interested in talking to Adam. I think Adam's very into the day-to-day operational aspect of the entire NFL. So ownership stuff kind of, it's not many people, Tyler, sink their teeth into, ownership issues. And because they're complicated. And there's...
Well, it's a dangerous game to play when you're on that end. When you're the guy that's trying to get information, that's a very dangerous game to play.
Yeah, it's, I guess I, when John Elway years ago at training camp came out, I'll never forget it, very tearful. And it's that opening barbecue, the day before training camp starts. Yeah. Always very interesting because it's kind of like the state of the union for the Broncos at that point. And man, John was, I thought, heartfelt and, very honest and, had some tears going on because they're making an announcement that Mr. Bolin was really stepping away. He had been, coming in, on a pretty regular basis, but he was really, going to step away. And the Alzheimer's had sort of taken over, unfortunately. But at that moment, all you had to think about, and that was a long time ago, years ago, it was like, okay, what happens next? And Tyler, for me, when that happened, you could see problems kind of right off the bat. Because there was no firm explanation as to exactly what happens next.
Sure.
It was a trust that was going to decide which of the adult children would be the right one to be the single voice. But there was no, real specific guidance as to what would determine that.
Right.
There were some ethereal sort of things like an advanced degree and a certain age and a degree of experience with the team or at the stadium. But it just wasn't like they said repeatedly, there is no checklist. And it just left the situation, Tyler, as kind of a very, very vague. And in the ownership situation, you have to understand Pat Bowlen had a wife and two kids before Annabelle Bowlen.
Yep.
Sally Parker. And
multiple families makes things very, very complex.
And he had two children, Amy and Beth, who are much older than his other kids. And a lot of people thought, this will be Johnny's job. This will be Johnny Bolin. Not Pat. He's got another son, Pat. But nobody really talked about Pat. It was going to be Johnny.
And for a while there, Johnny was doing what he needed to do. Kind of making the runs throughout the building, working in all the various departments, and it felt like it was on track there before everything went to hell.
Had an MBA, had an advanced degree, and then Johnny's personal life just, derailed everything.
Right.
And then you found out the Broncos weren't real high on Beth, and Beth was interested. And then it's just like, well, okay, where are we going? And now we're with a lawsuit that is going to basically, the premise of the lawsuit was the competence of Pat Bowlen in 2009. And I'll just save all the details. There's a lot more, but that's essentially what the base of the lawsuit is. And then the lawsuit gets filed and we find out there's an eighth Bowlen child. Mm-hmm. That Mr. Bolin had been
in California the whole time.
The whole time. And he'd been very connected with her. And
she was old.
And she is older than his three youngest daughters.
Yep.
But she's really, aside from the soap opera elements of it, she's not really involved with this process. Although, Tyler, in the case of a sale of a team, she's as legitimate as a child as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
She's not trying to run the Broncos. But if you're, splitting up the pie, she's part of it. So anyways, I'm seeing it takes forever just to set things up. You know what I mean? With this situation. The real thing is, when I asked Roger Goodell about it at the Super Bowl years ago, and Mike Silver called me an alleged journalist for asking the question, it was because most people did not understand the ramifications of it. But it was pretty obvious to me that this could really be bad. And sadly, it kind of has been. You know, it was colored a little bit because the Broncos, during your tenure, had so much success.
Yeah.
But you could sort of see what could happen if you look down the path a little bit. And sadly, that has all happened. And that's where we have been spinning. So to hear the NFL is actually going to put their foot down on it, Tyler. Now, we know Brittany has been working back with the organization, and she's working more in the stadium, and she's had a lot to do with the COVID protocols and working with the city. And I've met Brittany a couple times. I think she's a delightful person and seems smart and intelligent from everything I can tell. She's just very, very young. And just has not had that much experience.
You got to get to where this is going, though. Like, what is this specific new rules? What does it mean? What the $10 million fine? How does that affect us?
Yeah, that to me, because I read the story about it's a $10 million per year fine for teams that fail to comply, mandating one person hold the minimum amount of equity in the team, and has final say. The NFL, Tyler, wants one person as the spokesperson. The exception, of course, feels like the Green Bay Packers, which is just kind of a different management thing.
Well, there's no owner.
Right. But there's a board of directors, and there's somebody that oversees it. I mean, essentially, there's the Joe Ellis of the Green Bay Packers, too. But everybody else in the NFL, Tyler, there's one person. There's one person. Or in the case of the Buffalo Bills, a husband and wife team that essentially is the one household, one person. But even in this story, what are the deadlines?
Well, I think the real moral of the story here is that it will not work to have all of the interest divided amongst all the children and not have one child with controlling interest of this team. The family will have to come to an agreement, and it more than likely is going to have to come to an agreement that Brittany Bolin is going to be the controlling interest, and she's going to be running the ship, because the NFL has now mandated that There has to be somebody with controlling interest.
I always thought if the adult children could get together and be on the same page, then they could control what the trustees do. I always thought that, whether it's Brittany or Beth or whoever. But that's where I don't see this. I just don't see it. I think they know what, and by the way, Johnny's a bit of a wild card too.
Yeah.
Because he's just not connected to the family now, unfortunately. So I don't know if they could even get Johnny on the same page with everybody else. Never mind Brittany and Beth. They all get along for the most part. But I do not see. It seems that if they could just get together and say, this is what we want to do, it would happen.
Hard to imagine. I mean, listen, if all the kids were able to come together, it would be very hard to imagine the trust going against the will of the entire family at that point. So, sure, I mean, if they all came together, that sounds likely. But at this point, I don't really know what any of this means. I really don't. I don't see this changing anything. I don't see opinions being different now that this is out there. I mean, the people that are interested are still going to be interested.
Hey, let me ask you a big question. What's a $10 million fine to a $3.6 billion organization? How? I thought the $1 million fine. I thought the mask fines were a big deal.
It depends on the organization's cash.
Right.
And unfortunately, there's always been rumors that the Denver Broncos have been low on cash.
It feels like $10 million is a lot of money.
Right.
But the value is in the billions. So I do not know. I sit here kind of flummoxed, Tyler. I do not know if this story is going to hurry the process at all. Because in this story, there's not one deadline that's mentioned. It doesn't say by, you know, the start of a new year, March 9th, we need to know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say it. It doesn't say you need to make a decision within a couple of years. It doesn't say that either. It's never said it. And sadly, I think for Broncos fans, which the ownership stuff gets so complicated, and I don't blame you not digging into it, but ultimately, you want to know who to answer to. And sure enough, Adam Schefter, what'd he say? This situation isn't what Pat Bowlen wanted. The irony, though, is this is the situation he set up. Football 4, Garrett Bowles style next.